Standing, please. Dolores and Carolyn, would you take out, turn your eyes upon Jesus and just put it up on the screen there right now. Just turn it on. Before we sit down, this is the gospel today in song. So let's just sing this through once. With you this morning. Would you turn to the gospel lesson for today? This is Luke 10, starting in verse 38. Luke 10, starting in verse 38. Now here is an interesting lesson for all of us who think we need to rush and do the next thing that needs to be done. And it doesn't matter much if it's just another little item on your own personal list, or it's helping someone in need, or it's helping the church. When our primary focus is on doing what we think needs to be done, we miss something very central in our lives. Listen to the gospel here today. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary. By the way, this Martha and Mary are the sisters of Lazarus, who later died and who Jesus brought back from the dead. And this is the same Mary who poured expensive oil on Jesus' head and who was criticized for it by Judas Iscariot. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need only of one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." What are we missing? Jesus. What has Mary found? Jesus. You can just picture them as you hear this story. Mary, enraptured, sitting at her Lord's feet, looking into his eyes, captivated, not by the man, but by her Lord. Wonder and peace in her eyes, she looks into his face. And Martha, busy, distracted by her many tasks. She looks over and she sees the rapture. Does she smile and give thanks that her sister is at the feet of the Lord? No, she wants Jesus to rebuke her. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." You can almost see Jesus shake his head. If you were to ask Martha, she no doubt would think that what she was doing was what she was supposed to be doing. She was doing what she thought needed to be done, and so she was busy about doing it. Did she think to ask the Lord what needed to be done? No, she didn't have to. She knew. She had already decided what things were necessary. So she didn't ask. She didn't need to. Do you hear that? Do we hear that? Did she ask the Lord what needed to be done? She didn't, because she knew. Or at least she acted as if she knew, and she didn't need to ask. She stayed busy, and so she avoided the Lord's face. She avoided his face. She may have looked his way, oh, probably with fire in her eyes. You can almost see her hands on her hips, probably a dusting cloth in one hand. Lord, do you not care that my sister... But did she look at him? Really look? No. Mary did. Mary really looked. She turned her eyes toward Jesus. And what does Jesus say? There is need of only one thing. And Mary has found it. And he said that it would not be taken from her. That is the one need we have, to sit at the feet of the Lord, to listen to the Lord. You, me, we are to listen to him, and he will speak with us, each of us. I want to stop here and tell a story, a humorous story, but with a point I think germane. Phil Lytherer and I had lunch the other day. This is a story that I shared with him at the time, not realizing how apropos it would be to the gospel lesson today. There was a young boy, 6 years old, with his parents on vacation. And on this vacation, they went to the city of Rome. And by chance, they happened to get in on a tour of the Vatican. Now, this doesn't happen often, but they were able to. And on this tour, as young boys often do, this one had to go to the bathroom. And so he wandered off from the group getting the tour and found a great big massive door with a big doorknob on it. And he guessed maybe this was it. So he opened the door and slipped inside. And he had found the private study of the Pope. And the Pope was in there alone working at his desk. And he saw this little boy come in. And he looked up and he said, "Young man, can I help you?" And the boy said, "Well, I'm looking for a bathroom." And so the Pope got up and he came over and said, "Well, let me show you where it is." But as they were about to leave the room, the boy spotted on the Pope's desk a red telephone. No dial on it, no buttons, just a very simple, old, plain red telephone. And so he said, "Your Holiness, what's that telephone, that red telephone on your desk?" The Pope said, "Well, that allows me to talk to Jesus if I need to. If I have a real crisis, I can just pick up that phone and he's right there. And I can talk to him." The little boy said, "Could I use that telephone?" The Pope said, "Well, I'd be happy to let you use that telephone, but it's costly. It's about $10 million a minute to use that telephone. And I use it very rarely. I want to be a good steward of the church's money. So only in times of grave spiritual crisis do I even use the phone myself." And the little boy, with sort of the vim and vigor and that other word which I won't use, that little boys are made of, said, "Well, if I had $10 million, could I use that telephone for a minute?" And the Pope said, "Yes, you may." So the little boy left with a mission and went out, started a business, and as he grew, began to put together a conglomerate and made money, made much money. By the time he was 36, he'd made his $10 million. And so he took that $10 million and went back to the Vatican and sent a note into the Pope, because he was a well-known industrialist by that point. The Pope read the note and said, "Yes, I remember this boy, send him in." And the young man came in, now 36, and said, "Can I use the phone? Here's a check for $10 million. And the Pope said, "You may." And he left the room, and the boy spent a minute on the phone talking to Jesus. And that minute changed his life completely. When he left the room, he said, "I understand exactly what I'm to do. I spoke with the Lord. I have clear instructions." And out he went, And he studied and became a missionary and went to Africa. In the heart of Africa, and he stayed there for 30 years as a missionary, bringing the story of the gospel to people who had never heard it. And at the end of 30 years, as he had been told in that brief conversation, he retired. And he moved to a little town in the Midwest, probably somewhere near here, and spent the remainder of his days in retirement, simply worshiping the Lord. And he joined a little congregation in the little town where he went. And after he'd gotten to know some of the people there, the pastor invited him to dinner. So he went to the pastor's house for dinner, and after dinner, as they were sitting and talking, he looked and he noticed in the corner of the room was a red telephone. And it looked just like the one that he had seen on the desk of the Pope. No dial, no buttons. And he said, "Is that phone what I think it is? Is that like a phone that allows you to talk to Jesus?" And he said, "Yes, it is." Well, he left the conversation there because he didn't have $10 million anymore, and he knew that it was expensive, and went on. And then a few weeks later, he was at the house of a parishioner. And after dinner, he looked again, and there was another one of these red telephones, only it was in the parishioner's house. And so this time he got bold, and he said, "Is that telephone really what I think it is? Does that go, like, straight to Jesus?" And the parishioner said, "Yes." And he said, "Could I use it?" And the parishioner said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, isn't it very costly? I mean, I know the Pope has one," and I was sort of astonished, but I noticed that the pastor of the church has one too, but I know this is expensive. And he says, "Sure, you can use it, go right ahead." He said, "Well, how much is it?" And he said, "It's free." He said, "Free? What do you mean free? I was in the Vatican 30 years ago. I used the telephone there. It cost me $10 million. And you're telling me this one is free?" She said, "Yes. Well, there it was long distance. Here it's a local call." Okay, now that's the joke. Okay? And it's a funny joke, and it's not intended as Vatican bashing, because it's a long distance from the Vatican. It could as well have been, it could have been Episcopal Church headquarters in New York, I suppose. I should have done that. But that's the joke. The point of the story is you don't have to be the Pope and you don't have to be the pastor of the church to have a phone. Who gets to have a red phone? Phyllis gets to have one. Luis gets to have one. Dan gets to have one. George gets to have one. Jim gets to have one. Everybody gets to have a red phone. It's part of the deal. It's what it means to be a Christian. You get a red phone. You can talk to Jesus anytime you want. And he talks back. It isn't one way. Now, it may happen that in some of those conversations, he speaks quite explicitly. You actually hear words. You say, "Lord, I don't know what to do about this." And you hear the Lord speak, and he says, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to deepest Africa. Or I want you to stay in this place where you are now and simply honor me and represent me and tell my story." And other times, the Lord simply speaks in your spirit. And what I mean by that is that you find a way to simply sit and be quiet. We stop being Martha, right? We stop being Martha, too busy doing the things, even the things of the Lord, to listen to what the Lord has to say to us. And we learn instead to be Mary, to simply sit at his feet quietly. We stop the busyness, whatever it is. And then, in that quietness, we can hear him speak and tell us what needs to be done, what needs to be done. Marilyn, I don't want to embarrass you, but I maybe will. One time, in speaking about prayer, said that it astonished her that the Creator God of the universe would talk to her. But he does. He does. The Creator God of the universe can talk to anybody in this church. What it requires is submission. Submission to his will. It was the willfulness of Martha, doing what she knew needed to be done and doing it in her way, in her time, on her schedule, and refusing to look at the face of Jesus. It was that willfulness of Martha that kept her from seeking his face, from turning her eyes toward him. So what it requires is to be quiet and to submit. To submit to His will for us. To be willing to hear it. It may not fit what I want. It may not be what I expect. It may not be on my list anywhere. But if I'm to hear Jesus' list for me, if I'm to hear His word for me, I must wholly submit my will to His and be quiet and simply sit in His presence and look at His face. Turn my eyes to Him and listen. And so we come to the question which Lee asked last week when he preached. Is Jesus Lord of your life? That's finally the bottom line in all of this. Is Jesus Lord of your life? He was Lord in Mary's life. He wasn't Lord in Martha's life. Martha called Him Lord, but she did not submit. So who's Lord in your life? Who's Lord in my life? Is it Jesus? Or is it my agenda? Or all of the duties that I believe that I have? If it's not Jesus, then I beg you to take the opportunity to make Him Lord. To simply submit and to say, Jesus, I have kept other things in front of You and I repent of this. I turn to You now and simply want to hear what You have for me. To spend time alone and quiet with You and discern Your will for my life. I want to turn my eyes toward You. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what it's about. And He will direct your life. That's what it's about. In Jesus' name, Amen.